Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour, where the producer is the only one eating on the set. That's right. The skinny one. We had a wonderful first hour. If you missed it, you got to be able to check it out. We're talking about the museum, the Bible Museum that's traveling America. You got to check it out. The Green family, the historical artifacts of called the Bible Experience, is going to be in New York City. You can find out more about that in the first hour. Also, we had a tragedy take place in Quantico last night. We had a chance to talk about with the two Marines being murdered and the shooter shooting himself, another Marine. A tragedy that took place last night. In addition, about the family of God. You know, who is the family of God and how important it is that to connect us together. But this extra hour, we're hopefully going to be talking about the speech of our president that he just gave in Israel yesterday. It's an amazing speech. It has moments in it that just kind of, it's just amazing. We're going to get a chance to share it and play it and listen to it and just talk as it goes. It's going to be very encouraging, I believe. It's openly for Israel and for peace. And just kind of a jaw dropper. You're listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
Hello, hello, birthday man. This is the birthday program. In just case you didn't miss the first hour, I just want to make sure that you know in the extra hour, it is Jean-Paul's birthday today.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. He's being constant sense around the corner. He's just going like, to let go, right?
He's been wise. He's unfortunately, you know, there's November's coming. November is coming.
Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? Holy amazing.
Deflection.
Deflection. Or defined as what you find out from Pat. Well, you're about to hear a speech done by President Barack Obama in Israel, and we're listening to it live to us. And so you're going to hear our emotions. You're going to hear us hear some pretty awesome things in the beginning. We're going to get really excited. But as the speech continues, hold on. I know because you've probably already heard the speech already, but you're listening to us live as we're hearing it. And what he was saying was so good in the beginning. We were shocked to hear the betrayal of Israel to the United Nations. I mean, you got to hear it, but just give us grace and understand as we're listening to this, this is live to us. And so if we, knowing what we're going to share with you towards the end of his speech, are feeling that way, you can imagine people who don't know God or don't know what's already been revealed that you're going to hear in the speech. So you're going to hear us be amazed at what's shared, but you're going to hear us be shocked at how it ends up. Join us now as we listen live to us, the president's speech in Israel. The president, we want to get right into this because it is a speech, first of all, that we anticipated and leaned on the edges of our seats to find out, you know, what was going to be said, because the President Obama's first time ever being in Israel is just right now, and since he's been president, and he's going and befriending openly Israel, and he's speaking well of Israel, that Israel has a right to exist, a right to their own nation, a right to peace, you know, and some of the things you're going to hear in the speech, and we're going to talk about it as we play, but you got to hear, we want you to hear his speech, and from time to time, we'll just kind of give you a biblical perspective that we can about, you know, just because things sound good or sound bad, for example, we got to look at God's word. What does God's word say about that? And there is some pretty powerful moments that you can never take back. You know what I'm saying? You know, the way that the devil does not want God's people praised, acknowledged, and taught positive about in any way, form, or fashion.
Right.
Especially from the most powerful nation, you know, in the world, outside of Israel. And so we want to go right into, he's speaking at a university in Israel.
In Israel.
Right. And we want to be able to. Again, this is the President of the United States speaking yesterday in Israel.
Shalom. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you very much. Thank you. Everybody, please have a seat. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Well, it is a great honor to be with you here in Jerusalem. And I'm so grateful for the welcome that I've received from the people of Israel. Thank you.
I want to tell you that the volume from this feed coming from whitehouse.gov, it's a little low, so you may have to turn your volumes up a little here. Listen up. This is the president in Israel yesterday.
I bring with me the support of the American people. And the friendship that binds us together. You know, over the last 2 days, I've reaffirmed the bonds between our countries with Prime Minister Netanyahu and President Peres. I've borne witness to the ancient history of the Jewish people at the Shrine of the Book. And I've seen Israel's shining future in your scientists and your entrepreneurs. This is a nation of museums and patents, timeless holy sites, groundbreaking innovation. Only in Israel could you see the Dead Sea Scrolls and the place where the technology on board the Mars rover originated at the same time.
That's such an amazing moment when the president is praising, because that's the reality, how blessed Israel is, that they're the ones that invented such technology that today we're all benefiting from. And the fact that the Dead Sea Scrolls, which represents the Word of God, you know, being given, and how God's blessed it. Now the Land Rover at Mars, that God's doing that.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
That's cool. Beautiful.
Listen up.
But what I've most looked forward to is the ability to speak directly to you, the Israeli people, especially so many young people who are here today. To talk about the history that brought us here today and the future that you will make in the years to come. Now, I know that in Israel's vibrant democracy, every word, every gesture is carefully scrutinized. But I want to clear something up just so you know. Any drama between me and my friend Bibi over the years was just a plot to create material for Eretz Nehederet. That's the only thing that was going on.
He's talking about local media just stirring things up so they can sell papers, it appears. But if those are listening, this is the president's speech in Israel yesterday. And we're going to be talking about it, but listen up. And he's reaffirming his relationship here with the prime minister of Israel. He's just saying, listen, that's not all that stuff that was said. That's not who we are to each other. But listen up.
We just wanted to make sure the writers had good material. I also know that I've come to Israel on the eve of a sacred holiday, the celebration of Passover. And that is where I would like to begin today. Just a few days from now, Jews here in Israel and around the world will sit with family and friends at the Seder table and celebrate with songs, wine, and symbolic foods. After enjoying Seders with family and friends in Chicago and on the campaign trail, I'm proud that I've now brought this tradition into the White House. And I did so because I wanted my daughters to experience the Haggadah and the story at the center of Passover that makes this time of year so powerful.
This is really huge. So what he's saying is that he and his family are celebrating the Seder dinner, the Passover. And Passover is, you know, when Israel was held captive by Egypt. And God was going to free them. And but God wanted to show himself mighty. He brought Moses in. And Moses would speak to the leader of Egypt, Pharaoh, and he the Pharaoh's heart was hardened and he never would let them go. So 10 plagues came to show himself mighty, because he was showing himself to Israel too as well. Mm-hmm. But all of a sudden, and the last one was going to come where death was going to come to the firstborn. Death was going to come to the firstborn, everyone's child. But if they took the blood, if they took the blood of a spotless lamb, that was a young lamb that didn't have any blemishes or anything, they would take it into their house that night. These were their orders. And take some blood from it and put it over the doorposts of their house. When the death came, when the death angel would come, they would look at the blood on the doorpost of the house and they would just pass over that house.
That's right.
That's what that means, Passover. Mm. So death passed over. And that's the awesome thing about Jesus. When you give your life to God through his son, Jesus Christ, and accept Jesus, and make him the Lord of your life, and you become a follower of Jesus, understand that when death that we deserve comes our way, that it passes over us, not because of us on the inside, but because of the blood of Jesus Christ applied to our life. That's what that means.
That's right.
And he's saying, listen, I wanted my daughters to be exposed, Sasha and Malia, right? Exposed to the Passover. That's huge. And I wanted to bring it into the White House, and we wanted to be able to celebrate that. It's a huge thing. Listen up.
It's a story of centuries of slavery and years of wandering in the desert. A story of perseverance amidst persecution and faith in God and the Torah.
Think about that. It's a story about faith in God and the first five books of the Bible. Mm. That's beautiful. Is that not beautiful?
Yeah.
Beautiful.
That is a beautiful. And you have to understand, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and on and on and on and on and on and on. And Moses.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, so that kind of resolves any split off up here at the top where he's acknowledging God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Mm-hmm. That order when you're talking about Moses, correct?
Yeah.
And the 12 sons.
Yeah, exactly.
It 12 totally. Tribes.
Yeah. And definitely he's being African American. He's going to begin to compare what happened to the African American people in America, how that's a reality. That's a true history of America, and how that there's a relationship and kind of like that, how, you know, Israel was going through a time of slavery and God was bringing them to a place of freedom. And I think it's a perfect analogy of what's happened. But listen up. Listen up.
It's a story about finding freedom in your own land. And for the Jewish people, this story is central to who you've become. But it's also a story that holds within it the universal human experience with all of its suffering, but also all of its salvation. It's a part of the three great religions, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, that trace their origins to Abraham.
Now, this is the point where he's talking about, you know, you also often hear this stuff, three great religions, but the reality is what he's saying here is that where you had Jacob and Esau, you know, when you think about Esau, when you look at the Esau branch that came off and God said, I'm going to bless you and make you a nation, is that lineage that came out and eventually, you know, came up with the false religion of Islam. Mm-hmm. And, but yet they claim Abraham.
Yeah.
The Jews, the Christians, and the Muslims all acknowledge Abraham and then how things kind of come from there. And so when he's saying that these three religions kind of stream from there, if he's claiming all the way back to Esau, you know, that was one of his, Jacob's brother.
Right.
Yeah.
So, listen, obviously it's not a grave, it's a false religion.
Right, correct.
Okay, listen up.
And see Jerusalem as sacred. And it's a story that's inspired communities across the globe, including me and my fellow Americans. In the United States, a nation made up of people who crossed oceans to start anew were naturally drawn to the idea of finding freedom in our land. To African Americans, the story of the Exodus was perhaps the central story, the most powerful image about emerging from the grip
of bondage to reach for liberty and human dignity, a tale that was carried from slavery through the civil rights movement into today. For generations, this promise helped people weather poverty and persecution while holding on to the hope that a better day was on the horizon. For me personally, growing up in far-flung parts of the world and without firm roots, the story spoke to a yearning within every human being for a home.
That's a top powerful statement, because the president of our nation just said, I grew up with no roots in far-flung nations.
Mm.
But yet he's the president of the United States. Is that wild?
Yeah, that is.
Listen up.
Of course, even as we draw strength from the story of God's will and his gift of freedom expressed on Passover, we also know that here on earth, we must bear our responsibilities in an imperfect world. That means accepting our measure of sacrifice and struggle, just like previous generations. It means us working through generation after generation on behalf of that ideal of freedom. As Dr. Martin Luther King said on the day before he was killed, I may not get there with you, but I want you to know that we as a people will get to the promised land. So just...
No matter what you think about politics, the very fact that African-American president is standing in the promised land.
Wow.
And you think about Dr. King and his desire, you know, to be... He says, you know, that I might not get there with you, but I've been there. And now you have an African-American president, leader of America, standing in the promised land.
The promised land.
Wow. Yeah, the promised land.
Wow.
And and it's just like, I am the fulfillment of his dream that he said one of us would be here.
Wow.
Isn't that cool when you think about Dr. King and his desire? Wow. And he said it a couple of days before his life was taken, before he was murdered.
Mm-hmm.
And now, but yet, he's seeing it, I guess, from heaven, you know, the fulfillment of it. It's just, you know what I'm saying? It's just so
powerful.
When you think about the African-American experience and how they were enslaved and oppressed, and I mean, it's Israel's experience.
Mm-hmm.
And how they parallel. But look what's happened now. An African-American president is standing in Israel, speaking. I mean, think about this. You know, picture yourself, you know, a couple thousand years back, and you have this leader standing talking to the children. As a matter of fact, he's about to call this the Joshua generation. Think about it. I mean, that is... totally outside of Ishmael's lineage. I'm like, the Joshua generation. I mean, it's just exciting.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, to hear this. I'm just trying to give you a biblical perspective of the speech of the president we're listening to that happened yesterday in Israel. Listen up.
So just as Joshua and Moses, the work goes on for all of you, the Joshua generation. For justice and dignity, for opportunity and freedom. For the Jewish people, the journey to the promise of the State of Israel wound through countless generations. It involved centuries of suffering and exile, prejudice and pogroms, and even genocide. Through it all, the Jewish people sustained their unique identity and traditions, as well as a longing to return home. And while Jews achieved extraordinary success in many parts of the world, the dream of true freedom finally found its full expression in the Zionist idea, to be a free people in your homeland.
This is huge.
Wow.
This is huge that our president, President Barack Obama, is saying that the Zionist, and that's who found, that's who was there in 1948 and all the different things going on. And it was the fulfillment of their land, the promised land. That's just beautiful, isn't it? It's just like...
Wow. Open acknowledgments. Absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, it's open acknowledgement. He even goes deeper in that. Listen up. This is the President of the United States in Israel yesterday.
That's why I believe that Israel is rooted not just in history and tradition, but also in a simple and profound idea. The idea that people deserve to be free in a land of their own.
People deserve to be free. And this may, if you don't understand Israel and what's happening in the Middle East, that's a huge statement. You have to understand that Islam doesn't even acknowledge that Israel exists.
Right.
They don't even think that radical Islam doesn't even think they have the right to live.
Right. Much less declare a place their home.
Right. And their desire is to push Israel into the sea, that they're saying that Israel is taking their land, which they're not. But that's what they're saying. And now our president is saying, don't think so. Don't think exactly. So. This is the president of the United States. We'll be right back in a moment with more of this. This is just This is just really exciting. It reminds me of Chuck Pierce's word, that if we get a chance, we'll be able to have that for you too. We'll be right back. But I want to encourage you, if you're not presently connected to a church family, if there's not a church family that you're connected to that knows you by your name, that loves you, that prays for you, that you pray for, you know, Paul's writing to the church of Ephesus, and he says, every joint supplies. And think about it. You're disjointed. You're out of joint. You're not into the body, because there's only one body. There's only one church. Jesus is the head of it. And you know, maybe there, you know, you've had a little struggle with wherever you were and you didn't fit and you were disjointed in that. But, you know, find a family to relate to. Find a church family to relate to. And not only show up because you want to be supplied, but show up and become have an abiding relationship with God and be a supplier. You know, be a source, you know, for others as well. And it's like every joint supply. So I want to encourage you. There's a lot of things. There's a big shifting taking place in the body today. And God's bringing people to himself. And you know, basically people that have been inside something are heading out. And people that have been outside something are headed in. And the truth is, you need to go where God is calling you. And that's where you go. You go, you stay, you relate, you know, you function and realize this is pleasing to God. This is pleasing to God. Ne'er one of us is all the parts or all the pieces. We need each other.
That's right.
No matter, I mean, there's so many people, I mean, in history, there's, you know, God will give you a gift to be able to prophesy for others, but he won't let you hear for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
There's God will give somebody a gift of healing, although the healing follows all believers. And they can lay hands on other people and they're healed, but they themselves aren't healed. Because, and we talked about that, the power of God. You can go back and watch that on VFN TV, maybe. I don't know if it's available. But understand that we need each other. And besides, that's how you're going to stay encouraged. You'll stay encouraged when you are around fellow believers who are like-minded, who love Jesus too, mm-hmm. who are talking about what God shared with them, and it's relating to what God shared with you. And as you guys share, it's just encouraging. And life has its ups and life has its downs, its ebb and its flow. And you can't just run to a body and demand something from it when you never were functioning in that body in the first place. Mm-hmm. And so many people do that. It's so funny that, you know, people just show up and they say, you know, we were checking around churches that we thought we want to be married at, or we wanted to get counseling at. And it's like, who are you?
Exactly.
Oh, don't worry. We'll pay you some money for it. It's like, what? Where did that come from? What happened? What happened with all that? How did the church end up into being something of that nature? Or, you know, all of a sudden this tragedy hits and these strange people show up knocking on a door they never even went through, you know, asking for help and not telling you. They're telling you what their problem is with an individual and their family or their marriage or something, but they've not telling you about themselves, how it got to this point.
Right.
And you have to get together today and begin to relate today, serve each other today, let people know your heart today, prove yourself today. And everybody needs to prove their love towards each other in the body of Christ. Because when that day comes, the first thing the devil's going to do is he's going to put doubt in that relationship. He's going to put doubt, and he's going to begin to try to divide you from the very thing that you need. And if you've already built that fabric, you've already interwoven yourself together by the Holy Spirit, and you've carried each other's burdens and fulfilled the law of Christ. You loved each other. You ate together. You blessed each other. You blessed each other's children. and you love each other's children, even on their journeys. And so when stuff happens, and it does, then you know you have a place that you can go to where everybody knows your name. And it won't be just somebody who's just being nice to you because they're just trying to figure out what meanest thou this because you've knocked on their door. It's everybody's going to wrap around you. That entire body is going to have compassion over your situation, and they're going to relate to you. And every you're not supposed to be at every place, but there's a place that you're called to be. There's a place that you're called to be. And this is what the Word of God says. He says, go to the place that I tell you to go. And there you fully function at that place. And just stand by there for the next orders that he's going to give you. But the whole time you're there, you don't hold nothing back. You're just fully there, fully present, fully functional, you know, fully submitted, fully covered. If anybody needs anything there, I mean, you're like the first person that jumps up and says, how can I help you? The pastor at that particular of that gathering or that church, you know, you're their best friend because you're the one that's going to jump up and you're going to say, this is where God's called me. So I'm here to help you out, whatever you need. And at times, yeah, they're going to minister to you, but there's times when you're going to minister to that pastor by just serving, helping him or her carry that load. And if it's, I'm telling you, it just brings such joy to you. That's what we're called to do. I mean, you're missing the joy of the Lord when you're missing the body of Christ. You're missing that wonderful thing of just kicking back with a sister in the Lord, kicking back with a brother in the Lord, loving on children, just spending that time together, you know, once a week maybe, where you just kick back. And then you see each other through the week, and it's a 24/7 thing, but there's an epicenter moment to everybody's week where we have those larger gatherings where we come together and just celebrate God and worship Him and learn the teachings, you know, dedicating ourselves to the apostolic teachings. And I just want to encourage you. You know, I want to encourage you that you need to get connected to a church family. You know, begin to look around in your city, begin to pray, you know, and who that would be, and let God lead you. Welcome back to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat and John. We are talking and listening to the president's speech yesterday in Israel. I want to pick right back up again and hear some pretty powerful things are being said here by our president, and acknowledge that Israel has a right to exist, that this is her land, that the Zionist movement was a God movement. It was the right thing. I mean, listen up. This is the president speaking yesterday in Israel, the president of the United States, President Barack Obama.
Over the last 65 years, when Israel has been at its best, Israelis have demonstrated that responsibility does not end when you reach the promised land. It only begins. And so Israel has been a refuge for the diaspora, welcoming Jews from Europe, from the former Soviet Union, from Ethiopia, from North Africa. Israel has built a prosperous nation through kibbutzim that made the desert bloom, business that broadened the middle class, innovators who reached new frontiers from the smallest microchip to the orbits of space. Israel's established a thriving democracy with a spirited civil society and proud political parties and a tireless free press and a lively public debate. Lively may be an understatement.
You remember going to the market in Israel?
Yeah.
It's like, is this an argument or a shopping experience, right?
Yeah.
They are lively, huh?
They are excited.
Okay, listen up.
And Israel's achieved all this even as it's overcome relentless threats to its security through the courage of the Israel Defense Forces and the citizenry that is so resilient in the face of terror. This is the story of Israel. This is the work
that has brought the dreams of so many generations to life. And every step of the way, Israel has built unbreakable bonds of friendship with my country, the United States of America. Those ties began only 11 minutes after Israeli independence, when the United States was the first nation to recognize the state of Israel.
This is so huge because we already knew that, but it's like you haven't heard anything like that coming out of this administration. And now the president is not only saying it, but he's saying it in Israel, because that is a very important thing, because the president that didn't sign it, that had opportunity to sign it, when he actually made a covenant basically with, I believe, Jordan or Saudi Arabia.
One of the kings?
Yes, about that they wouldn't become a nation. He had like 6 days left in his life.
Yeah.
And then his predecessor,
Harry Truman,
signed it when he got, isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
So it's so important, our relation to Israel, understanding that. Because FDR, made a covenant with Saudi and said, listen, they'll never become a nation. And he had like 6 or 7 days of his life left. But he didn't know that at that particular time. And then his predecessor signed it within 11 minutes.
Wow.
By the way, that's why America's still here. He's about to find out now. The president's about to find that out in just a moment. Listen up. Listen to their response.
As President Truman said in explaining his decision to recognize Israel, he said, I believe it has a glorious future before it, not just as another sovereign nation, but as an embodiment of the great ideals of our civilization. And since then, we've built a friendship that advances our shared interests. Together, we share a commitment to security for our citizens and the stability of the Middle East and North Africa. Together, we share a focus on advancing economic growth around the globe and strengthening the middle class within our own countries. Together, we share a stake in the success of democracy. But the source of our friendship extends beyond mere interests, just as it has transcended political parties and individual leaders. America is a nation of immigrants. America's strengthened by diversity. America's enriched by faith. We are governed not simply by men and women, but by laws.
That's right. But it does sound good. And I was like, yes, that's right. I remember that. We are a nation of laws. That's so good. You listen to the President of the United States right now, President Obama, speaking in Israel. Listen up.
We're fueled by entrepreneurship and innovation, and we are defined by a democratic discourse that allows each generation to reimagine and renew our union once more. So in Israel, we see values that we share, even as we recognize what makes us different. That is an essential part of our bond. Now, I stand here today mindful that for both our nations, these are some complicated times. We have difficult issues to work through within our own countries, and we face dangers and upheaval around the world. And when I look at young people within the United States, I think about the choices that they must make in their lives to define who will be as a nation in this 21st century, particularly as we emerge from two wars and the worst recession since the Great Depression. But part of the reason I like talking to young people is because no matter how great the challenges are, their idealism, their energy, their ambition always gives me hope. And I see the same spirit in the young people here today. I believe that you will shape our future. And given the ties between our countries, I believe your future is bound to ours. No.
You have somebody heckling in the audience right there. And what he did, he cupped his ear and leaned forward like, huh? That's something to say.
Mm-hmm.
Listen up. And he's talking about that he believes that Israel's future is bound to ours.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really the opposite.
Yeah.
That right. Our future's bound to Israel.
Exactly.
And it's totally upside down. They're responding to that. And the truth is we're blessed because Israel is blessed and we stood with Israel. And with 6 million Jews in Israel and 6 million in America. And us standing with Israel, that's why we're here.
Mm-hmm.
That's not why they're there, because they're going right. to be there, you know. And
regardless.
Yeah. And, and so they're just kind of expressing like, I think you missed the order there. I think. Isn't that cool, though? 6 million people, little small piece of land, better fits in New Jersey, you know, better, yeah. besides New Jersey. And God's so powerful
mm-hmm.
that the biggest nation in the world
wow.
has to adjust itself. The most powerful nation in the world has to adjust itself to the reality. You're not God.
Right.
You know, this is God's land. Wow. The apple of God's. Isn't that awesome, though?
That
think about it.
That's awesome.
And they're just, you know, in Israel, they just kind of express themselves, even cab drivers, right?
Oh, yeah.
Listen up. We're listening to the President of the United States in Israel yesterday speaking to the people. Listen up.
This is part of the lively debate that we talked about. This is good. I have to say we actually arranged for that because it made me feel at home. You know, I wouldn't feel comfortable if I didn't have at least one heckler. I'd like to focus on how we, and when I say we, in particular, young people, can work together.
This is the moment the young people are going like, we? You're an old man. You're in your 40s, right? They don't ever think you were young. They don't realize how young we are, right?
Right.
To make progress in three areas that will define our times. Security, peace, and prosperity. Let me begin with security. I'm proud that the security relationship between the United States and Israel has never been stronger. Never. More exercises between our militaries. More exchanges among our political and military and intelligence officials than ever before. The largest program to date to help you retain your qualitative military edge. These are the facts. These aren't my opinions. These are facts. But to me, this is not simply measured on a balance sheet. I know that here in Israel, security is something personal. Here's what I think about when I consider these issues. When I consider Israel's security, I think about children like Osher Tweedle, who I met in Sderot. Children the same age as my own daughters who went to bed at night fearful that a rocket would land in their bedroom simply because of who they are and where they live. That reality is why we've invested in the Iron Dome system to save countless lives, because those children deserve to sleep better at night.
This is huge. This is huge because he's saying, listen, that Israel has a right to exist and a right to be safe and secure. And these missiles that are being fired over the borders by Hezbollah and whoever, that is wrong. And we are standing, that's huge, because it was so silent for so long.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And now he's talking about the real deal.
Yeah.
You know, the Jews are being killed by these missiles. The family are being killed by these bombs. Family. So listen up. Listen up. Mm. The president in Israel speaking just yesterday.
That's why we've made it clear time and again that Israel cannot accept rocket attacks from Gaza, and we have stood up for Israel's right to defend itself. And that's why Israel has a right to expect Hamas to renounce violence and recognize Israel's right to exist.
That is so
That's huge.
Wow.
That's just
that is huge.
I mean, you, even if you didn't mean it, this is
huge.
You can't even take that back. It's like, oh my goodness, these words have come out. And we're not going to be able to obviously do everything we want to do on this, but we do want to let you know we're about to go to break, but and come back to the president's speech, but made available with this speech on the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. You're also going to have a prophetic word by Chuck Pierce that talks about this very speech that was given years ago, about before Barack Obama was even on the grid about running for a political office, and that we would have an African-American president. It would seem to be, you know, against Israel for the first term, but in the second term, America would change its position towards Israel. And this is a huge, this is a position changer. Mm-hmm. More of the president's speech in a moment.
Wow.
You know, I want to encourage you, as you're listening to VFN Radio every day, we know we're 24-7, we're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're live 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central, but we're 24-7, anytime, any time zone, all the way from Okinawa, Japan, to San Diego, California. You know what I'm saying? You can come on to VFNTV.com or download our app and listen live. But we also have highlights. We actually have an entire two-hour broadcast broken up into certain segments that you can, something, you know, it just may be on your heart or on your, you wanted to hear that one thing. It's all you have time for. It's all you wanted to hear. And that's why we do that. And you can go right to that on the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com and click on the Torch. Or you can go to your app and just kind of thumb through the names of the highlights and listen to that one segment. But that's all for you. We want to deliver everything that we're called to deliver to you in any way that we can that helps you meet your need at that time. Sometimes you can't, you just don't have time to get it this way. You have to get it that way. And sometimes you don't have time to get it that way. You get it this way. So don't forget, you can go to VFNTV.com. You can go to VFNTV.com and it's there for you.
You know, Pat, the great thing about VFN Radio is that you can take it on the go with you. You can do that now with the VFN Radio app. No matter where you're at, you can continue to enjoy VFN Radio on the go. You can search for prophetic words, wisdom moments, and it's right there available. All you have to do is go to your search in your Google Play or your iPhone App Store. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it's totally amazing.
Total download, free, doesn't cost you anything. Get the app today. Go to Android or iPhone, Google Play or iPhone app and search VFN TV and download. Free, doesn't cost you a thing, and take VFN Radio on the go.
It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation. That stand with us prayerfully and financially, to just partner on a monthly basis, to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation and this nation by God's grace to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving. Welcome back to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. We are listening to the president's speech in Israel just yesterday, and we want to get right back to it. It's amazing some of the things that he is saying. Listen up right now. This, Israel has a right not to have missiles fired into it by Gaza. I mean, listen up.
When
When I think about Israel's security, I think about five Israelis who boarded a bus in Bulgaria and were blown up because of where they came from, robbed of the ability to live and love and raise families. That's why every country that values justice should call Hezbollah what it truly is, a terrorist organization.
Wow.
You know, if you've had your hair buried in the sand, you don't understand what's going on here. He just publicly identified the militant arm of the Muslim Brotherhood,
yep.
Hezbollah, which is, hold on, this is really the whole thing.
Yeah.
Is a terrorist organization. Now, we couldn't even use the word terror over here. We had to remove the word terror from all of our, remember, we were removing all the things.
Yeah,
exactly.
And it's like, has he set these folks up? You start thinking, oh my goodness, this is amazing. So it is out. It is out. America is saying, we do understand, and just like Israel does, that this is a terrorist organization.
They printed 25 different newspapers with different headlines. No, I'm just joking. All the statements.
Right. Right.
It's like amazing.
Wow. Yeah. And so we're listening to the President of the United States in Israel yesterday speaking to the people. Listen up.
Because the world cannot tolerate an organization that murders innocent civilians, stockpiles rockets to shoot at cities, and supports the massacre of men and women and children in Syria right now.
That's so huge, because you're thinking all along, it's like, does anybody see the murdering of civilians and what's going on? And it's like,
wow,
the cat is out the bag. The cat is out the bag. Our president right now, with his words, is standing with Israel. He's identifying America as a democracy and Israel as basically the only other democracy that's standing up for its people. I mean, this is going to be a positive thing in the eyes of God, being able to stand up. Because even somebody who is not even a follower of God, if you'll stand up for Israel,
that's,
I mean,
right,
you got a ticket to be able to be blessed in the context.
Those who bless Israel will be blessed.
That's that. Listen, that's listen to the President of the United States yesterday in Israel. Listen up.
The fact that Hezbollah's ally, the Assad regime, has stockpiles of chemical weapons only heightens the urgency. We will continue to cooperate closely to guard against that danger. I've made it clear to Bashar al-Assad and all who follow his orders, we will not tolerate the use of chemical weapons against the Syrian people or the transfer of those weapons to terrorists. The world is watching. We will hold you accountable.
Yay! I'm like, yeah, that's exciting, isn't it?
Yeah.
The biggest stockpile of chemical weapons in the world is in Syria. And right now it is volatile. I mean, we talked about that earlier on VFN Radio this year, even last year, we were talking about the concerns. Mm-hmm. And he's saying, listen, our eye is on you. You touch those chemicals, you do anything with those chemicals, you know, we are not going to let those things go in the hand of terrorists. And by the way, Hezbollah is a terrorist organization.
That's right.
And Hamas. In Gaza, you quit lobbing your bombs over here, because I'm like, oh my goodness. Is this not like the fulfillment, it seems like, of Chuck Pierce's prophetic word? Listen up. This is the President of the United States in Israel yesterday speaking to the people.
The Syrian people have the right to be freed from the grip of a dictator who would rather kill his own people than relinquish power.
That's right.
Yeah.
Assad must go so that Syria's future can begin. Because true stability in Syria depends upon establishing a government that is responsible to its people, one that protects all communities within its borders while making peace with countries beyond them. These are the things I think about when I think about Israel's security. When I consider Israel's security, I also think about a people who have a living memory of the Holocaust. Faced with the prospect of a nuclear-armed Iranian government that has called for Israel's destruction.
Okay, Iran says the Holocaust never happened.
That's right.
Yeah.
Many Muslims are saying, they're taught that it's all made up. It never happened. And he's not only identifying it's a reality, which is amazing if anybody can really think it's not a reality, if you have not gone to one of the museums and just talked to those that have family that went through it. But now he's talking about, he's comparing right now the tension. He's explaining why Israel would be so tense,
mm-hmm.
because their history is there was a Holocaust where they were going to be exterminated and killed. 6 million Jews were killed over 6 years.
Yeah.
And now there's 6 million Jews in Israel, and the enemy's wanting to, you know, Iran's wanting to destroy them in 6 minutes with nuclear weapons. And so he's explaining, he's helping the world understand and why there would be that inside of Israel's heart.
Mm-hmm.
Listen up. You listen to the President of the United States talking to the people in Israel yesterday.
It's no wonder Israelis view this as an existential threat. But this is not simply a challenge for Israel. It is a danger for the entire world, including the United States. A nuclear-armed Iran would raise the risk of nuclear terrorism. It would undermine the non-proliferation regime. It would spark an arms race in a volatile region. And it would embolden a government that has shown no respect for the rights of its own people or the responsibilities of nations. And that's why America has built a coalition to increase the cost to Iran of failing to meet their obligations. The Iranian government is now under more pressure than ever before, and that pressure is increasing. It is isolated, its economy is in dire straits, its leadership is divided, and its position in the region and the world has only grown weaker.
Yeah, I think their only friend is like North Korea.
Yeah.
You know, they're playing like solitaire the other day as the nuclear firecracker went off. Okay, listen up. We're listening to the President of the United States in Israel speaking yesterday. Listen up.
I do believe that all of us have an interest in resolving this issue peacefully. Strong and principled diplomacy is the best way to ensure that the Iranian government forsakes nuclear weapons. Peace is far more preferable to war, and the inevitable costs, the unintended consequences that would come with war means that we have to do everything we can to try to resolve this diplomatically. Because of the cooperation between our governments, we know that there remains time to pursue a diplomatic resolution. That's what America will do, with clear eyes, working with a world that's united, and with the sense of urgency that's required. But Iran must know this time is not unlimited. And I've made the position of the United States of America clear. Iran must not get a nuclear weapon. This is not a danger that can be contained. And as president, I've said all options are on the table for achieving our objectives. America will do what we must to prevent a nuclear-armed Iran.
Oh, my goodness.
Powerful.
I'm so encouraged. I don't know about you guys. I am so like, oh, my gosh. Thank you, Lord.
Stepping up to the plate saying we're going to do everything in our power. Iran is not going to have this nuclear weapon, and they're not going to launch it towards Israel. I mean, you couldn't ask anything more clear or better coming from the President of the United States.
I know. Is this is just so encouraging. It's like it's, you know, obviously there's going to be fruit to back it up.
Oh yeah.
But I don't think you can get out of those. You might as well just. We're gonna have to do it now. Not us. We're gonna have to. Either way.
Yeah.
This was a sandwich statement. This is on a statement upon 10, 12 positive affirming statements towards Israel. You know what I mean?
And against their adversaries. And make sure and listen. Don't forget. You can go to the torch. You can go to vfntv.com. Click on the torch, and you can not only hear this again, but you're going to be able to hear a prophetic word given by Chuck Pierce. Will be there in that particular post speaking about this particular thing. We talked about it, you know, some time back that America would shift its position in his second term. Mm-hmm. And here we was. That was before his second term even became a reality when we were talking about it. And it was before he even became president when Chuck was prophesying about it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is very encouraging. We listened to the President of the United States yesterday speaking to the people. Listen up.
For young Israelis, I know that these issues of security are rooted in an experience that's even more fundamental than the pressing threat of the day. You live in a neighborhood where many of your neighbors have rejected the right of your nation to exist. And your grandparents had to risk their lives and all that they had to make a place for themselves in this world.
This is huge. He's saying your neighbors, you live amongst neighbors that say you don't have a right to exist. This is true. I mean, he's saying true. This is exactly what happens.
Imagine acknowledging it.
It's one thing your neighbor not liking you, but it's another thing your neighbor plotting to remove you from the face of the earth and say you don't have a right to exist, and they believe that you don't have a right to exist.
And he's acknowledging it.
Listen up. You listened to the President of the United States yesterday speaking to the people in Israel.
Your parents lived through war after war to ensure the survival of the Jewish state. Your children grow up knowing that people they've never met may hate them because of who they are in a region that is full of turmoil and changing underneath your feet. So that's what I think about when Israel's faced with these challenges. That sense of an Israel that is surrounded by many in this region who still reject it, and many in the world who refuse to accept it. And that's why the security of the Jewish people in Israel is so important. It cannot be taken for granted. But make no mistake, those who adhere to the ideology of rejecting Israel's right to exist, they might as well reject the earth beneath them or the sky above, because Israel's not going anywhere.
Oh my goodness. Wow. You might as well reject the air above or the earth beneath your feet, because Israel's not going anywhere.
Wow.
You feel it? Wow. I feel it. I was like, we're just witnessing a shift.
I felt it.
I'm just feeling, I feel God all over me, man, this moment. You know, that's a prophecy.
No doubt.
You know, sometimes a prophet doesn't realize they're prophesying, but that's a prophecy. Mm-hmm. It's true. Well, I mean, nothing's going to happen to Israel. I mean, Israel's going to make it. And it's like, oh, but our president wants them to make it. And he sees the enemy and the adversary. And he has obviously unfolding a strategy here. And he's unashamedly standing up and saying, you might as well say, you know, goodbye to the air above and the air above and the earth beneath your feet, because Israel ain't going nowhere. Listen, you listen to the President of the United States yesterday in Israel speaking to the people. That's such a beautiful thing that we're hearing right here. We're not going to be able to have the whole today in today's program, the full speech of the president, but you're going to be able to catch it more at the VFN Torch. Go to the VFN Torch, go to VFNTV.com and click on the Torch and go to the post about the president speaking. You'll hear this whole segment and listen, just listen to what the president's saying. And we're going to, as we talk, is we're going to give you a biblical perspective so you can say, you know, what is God's word saying? We're trying to help you kind of get a perspective of that. This is a pinnacle moment in the earth and a pinnacle moment that America can make it.
Yeah.
America can make it. You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.